stone. Let the king beware, for your justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The hungry poor shall be no more for the food they can never earn. There are tables spread, every mouth be fed, for the world is about to turn.
Mock justice, help the mayor ring, let the fire of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to burn.
Nations rage, from age to age, we remember who holds us fast. God's mercy must deliver us from the conqueror's rushing grasp. His saving word that our forebears heard is the promise which holds us bound. Till the spear and rod can be crushed by God, who is turning the world around. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fire of the justice. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to burn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fire and the justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world.
Chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. And I stand before you now, so I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been. Come rising up in me. In the arms of your mercy, I find rest. So just how far the east is from the west, one scarred hand to the other. I know you've washed me white. it hardly ever rains. I've never gone hungry, always felt safe. I got some money in my pocket, shoes on my feet. In my own little world, population, me. I try to stay awake during Sunday morning church. I throw a 20 in the plate, but I never give till it hurts. And I turn off the news when I don't like what I see. Yeah, it's easy to do when it's population, me. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose? At a red light, looked out my window. I saw a cardboard sign that helped this homeless widow. And just above that sign was the face of a human. I thought to myself, God, what have I been doing? So I rolled down the window and I looked her in the eye. Oh, how many times have I just passed her by?
Just asked him, how could God love a mess like me? Son, I'm a preacher now, but that ain't who I used to be. He said, you'll never know just how far love has brought me. You'll never know who I used to be. 'Cause I've been around and I've been down to the bottom of hell. come since the day that preacher told me about his amazing love. I was lost and alone, and the lights came on, and hope set my heart free.
Vapor in the wind. see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see, it's going by the book.
And it is going by the book, and boy, you can bet your bottom dollar on that one. It's going by the book. Big time. Family, welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program this afternoon on a Friday, the 17th of January, 2014. Welcome. Sometimes I wait 5-10 minutes after to see who shows up and all that. I have a little NSA. Oop, I let that slip. Oh, little map here that shows me a general location and all that. I mean, that's all it is. And numbers of people that maybe clue in and get an idea, and I like people to show up, but I just go ahead and go with it and record it and send it out like I've been doing. I have the Bible studies, my broadcast on archives of sort. You can go on my watchmanforjesus.com, and there you can click on the bar there that is the actual broadcast or Bible study, and you listen to it from my website. I've got a distribution of about 200 people I send out MP3s to. Anyway, I get the word out in one way or another. Facebook, watchmanforjesus.com. Those joining us that may be new, my name is Thomas Gamble, and welcome. I have a myriad of subjects to cover. All of them are connected. I'm going to cover some things that they haven't talked about before. And I'm going to include some things I have talked about before to put the new stuff in perspective. That's how I actually always do it anyway. New data, new information, new agenda items, and so forth. But today I want to try to demonstrate, and boy, I tell you, some folks may not like some of the things I'm going to talk about today, but what else is new? But everything I've got is documented, it is factual, and the dots you can connect on your own, and I'm just going to let her fly. We'll see what happens. Lord, we thank you today for being able to broadcast, Father, that we have our own network, we can share the gospel, we can share the truth, we can bring out the connections of how Lucifer, these fallen angels have set up this world and been allowed to because of sin that's entered this world. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, has wanted to cross the Calvary. Through him we have eternal life. The bridge to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for that sacrifice you made that you brought him in. And Father, he came down from heaven to live among us and to bring us the gospel. Father, for this great sacrifice, we thank you. Father, for that we confess our sins to you, Lord, that we be converted, and conversion and repentance, conversion, Father, they are the same. Father, we call upon you that you'll spread your Holy Spirit out and do the anointing that to touch, to convict, bring to bear the woes that's going to tell the truth, to bring out of the pulpits and the synagogues and the cathedrals the ministers of God that are there to tell the truth, Lord, and expose those that are being false. Father, we raise up to you our brethren, those in need of healing, and our family members that need of healing. And Father, we call upon you for those ones that have been witnessed to, that the Holy Spirit will cultivate their development, their spiritual enlightenment about your Son, Jesus Christ, that they'll be drawn to him. That, Father, that we know you, that you know the end from the beginning, and you call upon those that are, have in the end, have accepted you, your Son, as your Savior. The Lord, you know the end from the beginning, and those you've called upon, that that numbers will be increased, that, Lord, that those that's going to change their mind and accept Jesus Christ as Savior and turn away from Freemasonry, turn away from these secret societies, turn away from whatever idol that they have, whatever's holding them back, and turn to Jesus Christ. For pray for the returning service, we pray often for the returning servicemen, that, Lord, that those coming from Iraq and Afghanistan, that, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will override the psychotropic drugs, the thoughts of the suicide that they're thinking about, and, Father, the to expose the evil of the orchestration of this suicide that's being done on purpose, and, Father, to render null and void the effects of these vaccines that's killing people, that's hurting people, that's causing this dementia, causing this these maladies and autism and causing Alzheimer's. Father, we know these vaccines are what's causing it. And Lord, we call upon you, the Holy Spirit power, to override this and to raise the awareness of people, Father, that through divine appointments to stop them from getting these vaccines. Lord, that we call upon you, Lord, to expose those false preachers and rabbis and priests, to expose them. Father, expose these religions. And Father, to expose the Illuminati. And Father, to render null and void their training, their teaching, and to take them away from their training. And Father, to bring into them a lust for power, that they move away from their own families and then become truth tellers and become whistleblowers against them. Lord, to give them that courage to speak out against the Illuminati families. And Father, to those in the government that are in the secret societies, Father, to renounce that membership, renounce that brotherhood of Satan and come to Jesus Christ. And Father, to expose the secret societies within the government and the military. Father, we pray for this. Only through supernatural power can this be done. Lord, this is why we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to hit a whole lot of cylinders today, and I'm hoping I'm not going to be too scattered, but everything should come out in some kind of sequence. But that, I really sometimes don't ever know till I'm done, and sometimes I really don't remember what I've said, and that's why I record it, because, I just go, there we go, and I really don't sometimes remember what I've said, but I let the Holy Spirit guide me. And I'm not the only one. There's out there, as others do too. But, it's not for me. I do want to remind that we have our Bible studies and our broadcast randomly played at various places. And one is highpointradio.net. www.highportradio.net. It's on a random basis. I don't know when they play it, really. But they play it randomly, is what I said, didn't I? Named John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, John Kirkler. And his email, highportradio@yahoo.com. Remind you all about that. Well, family, I have told you all that my website's watchmanforjesus.com. And, alright, here we go. You know, in Babylon, it was a dark night, Babylon, morally dark. Darker than any workplace or school or community. And I think Babylon, although a place, is also representative of the same mindset and the same criteria of being a organization, movement, country, whatever. Certainly, the last days Babylon is a place that will happen, being set up as we speak. But King Belshazzar, he willfully blasphemed God, did he not? He desecrated the sacred goblets looted from the temple in Jerusalem, and now Babylon and Belshazzar were about to face God's judgment. Satan knows that's what happens. When he maneuvers a country, a person, a place, whatever, against God, that God's judgment is going to come down upon them. So, by their free will act, it brings upon themselves. But, you know, in the midst of this darkness, gross darkness actually, came the light of a single witness, and this was the prophet Daniel. And you know, he had a reputation back then as a man with the spirit of the holy God. You'll find that in Daniel 5 verse 11. He was summoned to interpret the mystifying message on the wall. And you know that Daniel, like today, he could have softened God's warning. Today they softened God's warning. In the old days, they used to tell you about hellfire and brimstone, but they wouldn't tell you about the love and forgiveness of God. Today, they tell you about the love and forgiveness of God, but never about the hellfire and brimstone. There's almost no balanced messages today. They're one or the other. No, you got to give both. They're not doing it, as I'll demonstrate shortly. You know, he could have not mentioned the part about judgment and death. But Daniel, instead of muddying up the message to please the king, or I should say muddling is a better word, Daniel remained true to God as a solitary man. He had the courage to stand alone. And you know, standing alone before Belshazzar, sounds like something out of Star Trek, don't it? He had a drunken court, this Belshazzar. And Daniel, though, spoke the truth in front of all. It took a lot of courage for Daniel back then to do that. But a threat from an earthly king was absolutely nothing compared to his allegiance to the King of Heaven. Daniel feared Belshazzar so little that he feared God much more. Is this not like it is at home? Your mother is proverbially, in a nuclear family, supposed to be the comforter. Watch how I use the word. The wife is the comforter of the home. The teacher is the wife. The mother, this is a proverbial family. Oh, they've changed that. Bad. They've changed it. God set it up the right way. But the feminism, funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, homosexual marriage, taking down the Ten Commandments, all this being orchestrated by design, not haphazardly, not spontaneously, but by a design from councils and committees to pull man away from God, thus thereby allowing them more opportunity to continue with setting up the New World Order. By design, they go by objectives, organizations. Have you fulfilled the objective? What are you going to do about Oklahoma? You going to send that kid in? Okay, go ahead. Talking to ACLU. You're going to send the kid in this time, a 16-year-old. All right. And what did you say he's going to do? Well, they told him. This actually happened. We're going to have him to threaten to go to court if they didn't remove the Ten Commandments. And I forgot the name of the school right off the top of my head in Oklahoma back last May. They had failed in Florida to do that. This is all part of Lucifer's plan. Individually, they get one state to do something, and then what it does is catches fire in the others as it's planned to do. People don't have any idea how so well this is organized. Well, you can trace it too. This is not speculation at all. But Daniel feared God much more than he did Belshazzar. You might fear your daddy coming home than you would your mother. Now, son, you stop that, or I'm just going to do this, do that. You're like, okay, mom, you know. But when your daddy says it, proverbially, you're like, yeah, okay, I don't want to go back there. Don't take me that belt, you know. Your dad meant it. Again, I repeat, a proverbial family. But today, they've changed all that. It's no longer the proverbial, wait till your daddy gets home. It's, look here, I'm your father, but you wait till your daddy gets home. Say what? Oh. Or it may say, I may be your mother, but you wait till your mom gets home. Huh? And even more is confusing. You wait till your mother gets home. You wait till your dad gets home. Well, which one? I don't understand. You see, they did a study a long time ago, and they found out that when a father doesn't do his part of discipline, the mother doesn't do the comforting, the father don't do the disciplining, as this disciplinarian in the family, the child does not feel loved. That's why, that's a true study. Excuse me, that's a study that portrays an actual fact, not this made-up stuff they've got today. But this is a fact. God set it up that way. So you've got God the Father, whose disciplines, punishes. Where's your punishment? When you feel guilty. When things go bad because you did the wrong thing. That's God saying, That's punishment. And then what does the Holy Spirit do? The mother comforts you. See, there are two different things going on. But the Holy Spirit and God are one, and Jesus Christ, the teacher. Now, this is one of the reasons why the New Age and certain sects, S-E-C-T-S, of Christianity and New Age, says the Holy Spirit is female dominant. Say what? Yeah, and we're all God, and the Holy Spirit is female dominant. It's a she, Holy Spirit. That's where that comes from. Oh, they sneaky. God the Father is a male, the Holy Spirit's female, and Jesus Christ is a teacher. Oh, they've really got this thing muddled up, and people buy off on it. Massive number of people buy off on that. I'm going to explain that in a minute. But that's the bottom line. But back to Daniel. When we share Daniel's perspective from heaven, his love of God and his worship, we too will find that God gave us courage to stand alone. It comes with a price also. Satan is prince of this world. But God will protect you, or he'll guide you through it. You see, there's a something I read. The most beautiful people we've known are those who've known defeat, known suffering, known struggle, known loss, and have found their way out of the depths. These persons have an appreciation, a sensitivity, an understanding of life that fills them with compassion, gentleness, a deep loving concern. Beautiful people don't just happen. Elizabeth Ross. But one thing missing from this is those sufferings, trials, and tribulations come from God. He allows them to do just that, to strengthen you. See, people always leave out something. I knew that was missing it, but I wanted to add that to it. They tend to leave that out, that God is in control. He allows you to be stronger by bringing these trials and tribulations. Gustafsson says, in need of strength, we melt into the crowd and find that strength is more elusive still. Our courage gone, we call upon the Lord. and find our strength renewed to do his will. That's what people are going to find out here later when these things start. Right now, everybody's trying to do it on their own. They're going to do a revolution or change the government or, I don't know, fix it financially. I'll get to that a little later today. Their exact plans. I'm going to tell you exactly what they're going to do. And you know where I get it from? I get exactly from them, documented, what their plans really are. I'll see how far I get into it today. You know, because we've become a nation and world of broken families, we gravitate toward the allowance of do as thou wilt. That is the philosophy of the New Age movement. It's based on humanistic studies, humanistic criteria, doctrine, humanism. Not Roman Catholicism, that's a cover-all. Babylon will appear when the Roman Catholic Church crashes, as they've planned. Right now, they look at the Pope and Obama and William and whoever else, and the Catholic Church is the Antichrist, the false religion, all this, that, and the other. No, that's just a cover-up. The real Babylon will emerge after the Roman Catholic Church is destroyed and Rome and the United States have lost economically. First, they got to build you up and then cut it down. Then comes the Antichrist. Then comes the real false prophet. And the real Babylon will emerge out of that. In a prosperous period. But it'd be fake. You know, the Father, God, is the one who disciplines us and the one that we fear the most. From the old words, remember back in the 40s and 50s, you wait till your dad gets home. No. It's you wait till your dad gets home. Well, anymore, it's wait till your dad gets home. That's the way, anyway. You know, the one we look up to is our daddy. So all that day long, you dread. You go to school. Tommy, yes, what's wrong with you today? I don't know. Because you know when you get home at 3, you know about 4, 4:30, your dad's going to come home. And you know what? Your mom's going to tell him what you did, fool, or what you didn't do or something. You worry about it all day long at school, right? People don't worry about that no more. What does that happen here? What happens here is that's the punishment, is the guilt, the conviction that God puts on our heart when we sin. It's the same thing. The way God set this thing up, this world, is his microcosm. Well, our macrocosm, M-I-C-R-O, microcosm, is our families. Imagine that. Now, you mess all that up, you open up a portal. As a matter of fact, Brock Chisholm, director of the United Nations World Health Organization, said, and I quote, "To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas," unquote. He is a Unitarian. He died in 1971, and he is a Canadian. Family, this has been set up all along. All along. Every single, and this could be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. You see? When you really get into it, man, it's really quite amazing. But you got to be careful not to get pulled into the amazement, if you will, of how they've organized this. It's just incredible. But then I get to remind myself, yeah, but they've lost, man. They've lost this thing. All this for nothing. God's going to judge them, and there's nothing they can do about it except repent and be converted. Well, the Father God is the one that does the discipline, right? He's the one we fear, the one you look up to. Well, I got to think about this today. I wanted to lead it in. He's supposed to be the one that leads the family. The mother is the one that is the comforter. A microcosm of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. She gives us assurance and love after we got our butts blistered or something. Or we've been chastised verbally. We feel bad. Oh, honey, come here. That's the comforter. If she comes in too and lamb blasts you, you got a problem. That's when you want to be a bully. I'm catching it home. Well, I'm tired of this, so I'm going to go over and pick on other people too. You'll find bullies in school or getting abused at home. Yeah. They don't have an outlet. They don't have a way that they can be built back up again. They need that comfort. This family unit is very important. And Lenin himself, in 1900s, as he was trained by the secular humanist, he said, quote, "To destroy a country, you destroy the family," unquote. This is a strategy. It goes back to 1700s. They've employed it very well. So first you got to build it up to use it, and then you destroy it. And that's how you control. It's called dialectic. Satan's a clever boy, but he must not be too smart because he's real dumb right before man was created. He wouldn't have rebelled in the first place if he had some kind of discernment or wisdom. Now, would he? No. He doesn't see the future. So there you cancel out your time travelers, you 4-star generals up there at the cosmic top secret. You're not dealing with time travelers. You're not dealing with aliens. It's intelligent. You're not dealing with ascended masters either. You're dealing with fallen angels that want you dead. And that's exactly, without exception, what's going on in the Pentagon. In Tavistock. In Chatham House. Shall I be more explicit? Your Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, they have dreams of being saints in the coming new age or enlightenment or whatever. They go and make it. Because they're going to get old and die. When they do, they're going to hell for an eternity. That's a promise. It's in the Bible. Now, at their day, somewhere along the way, they renounce that blood oath. They take Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, there you go. Promises are promises. They're going to heaven. God forgives them. You know, the New Age has actually replaced the family structure. And this with the notion that the Holy Spirit is the female role. That's where they got the male-female, the Baphomet. Holy Spirit is female. That's where they're getting this from. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is a female presence. Not with God, but individual. That's where you have these other so-called Christians. They're being misled by definitely not Christian pastors or evangelists or whatever, or priests or something. Because they say they're three. They're not all one. 1 John 5:7, I beg to differ. It says otherwise. This is sneaky, sneaky, they do. They say they're separate, but they're not separate. Jesus is the one physical representation and the middle person, the teacher. You know who their teacher is? Lord Maitreya. He's going to show. As an alien, ascended master, some other such nonsense. They've been building this up for centuries. They're going to provide that guidance, and the universe is God. We're all God. We're all actually God, and so forth and so on. Pantheism. You know, the family structure, as God intended, mirrors the proverbial family today, mirrors the Trinity. You don't find Trinity in the Bible. Well, you don't find the word Bible in the Bible neither. And you got one in your hand there, don't you? And you don't find the word Trinity, no. But you got the God there, don't you? Yes. Uh-huh. You got the Holy Spirit, don't you? Yeah. Uh-huh. You got Jesus there, don't you? Yeah. Well, when I went to school, 1, 2, 3, that's Trinity. Triune. Cletus. The family structure as God intended mirrors his creation and his plan. To be loyal, which I wasn't when I was a young, unsaved Marine and unsaved defense contractor and so-called adult. 3 marriages. 2 of them I was unfaithful. I didn't see anything wrong with it. I had a complete different attitude. Family, I joined the Marine Corps for one purpose. That was to kill people. I just wanted to. Dying was in the process, so be it. I didn't care. I just got to tell you where I came from. I didn't mess with drugs. I wasn't in jail, prison, all that. But God kept me away from war. I was in the middle of the wars. He kept me out of, well, I can't, you know, situations and all this, but I did get myself involved in a lot of situations on my own. Poking and poking and hitting and punching and breaking and stupid stuff out in the street. Oh, I did. I enjoyed it. I loved it. It's like an adrenaline rush. But God kept me away from war, put me in the middle of the war. So I come from a background. So I know what I'm talking about. I've been on both sides. And I have to admit that, so I won't be a hypocrite, you know, but I've been there. You see? I've been pulled in every which way you can imagine. But Satan knows I'm not homosexual. Well, that don't excuse my adultery and other things I did. There's no excuse there. See, it's just like homosexuality. If you're a Freemason, you have a family structure, and you do everything right, but you rob, cheat, and steal, or you give somebody a contract they're not supposed to have, or you lie, that's the same thing as being homosexual. It's a sin. It's a liar, cheater, fornicator, lustful. 10 Commandments. There's not one worse than the other. The only unforgivable sin is the sin of unbelief. So people look down on homosexuals as something bad. Well, what about your adultery? It's just as bad. What about your lying to the colonel or lying to the general or lying to the people? What, you justifying that? I don't think so. A sin's a sin. God knows it. Now, if you don't feel guilty when you do these things, you better start worrying awful bad. If you can do these things and not worry about it, you got a problem. It's when you start worrying about it, when you start feeling that conviction. That's a good thing. Because that means God's loving you and God's telling you, don't do that. That's a good thing. People got to turn around opposite. And when you confess it before him, it works. I know this. It's like taking a pack off your back when you start telling the truth. Whew, man, you don't ever want to go back another way again. I know for a fact. I've been there. You know, to achieve success, Satan must get at the apple, that apple of knowledge, and seek himself to become a god. Don't eat the, whatever that fruit was. We assume it's an apple, but it could have been anything. We don't even have to see today. The act of doing it, it wasn't the actual juice of the fruit that caused it biologically or chemically. It was the act of disobedience. And the trees aren't people. And the fruit wasn't sex in the Garden of Eden. That is the most asinine, most ignorant doctrine I've ever heard in my entire life. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that or point to it. That's what Christian Identity and Hebrew Roots Movement and I don't know what, Arnold Murray and Shepherd's Chapel and her Herbert Armstrong, they come up with this humankind before Adam and Eve and sex, Satan and Eve had sex in the Garden of Eden. Just all kinds of nonsense. And that Cain was the actual son of Eve and Satan and just nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Nowhere. But they can script it, turn around, and they just cherry pick scriptures and then manipulate and brainwash their ones that follow them. Nope. So in the very beginning, if we'd never, let's say it never happened, that Adam and Eve were obedient, even though they had free will, and it never happened, well, Jesus would never have had to come to die. And mankind would have been in bliss, like in the thousand-year millennium still to come. But it took that bite of the apple of the knowledge of good and evil. So if they never took the bite of the apple, the knowledge of good and evil, we'd be living primitive today. And that's how we're supposed to be living all along. Ooh, hey, about that concept, huh? That we're supposed to be taken care of. We do till the farm. We take care of what we have. But worship God the whole time. Not fool with computers, flying machines, Hadron colliders, all that stuff. Star Trek. That ain't part of God. Living primitive and letting him support, but working together with different people, different gifts, different abilities, different skills, helping each other. No money, man. No money. Don't need money. You don't need money. You can, I mean, this is how it's supposed to have worked all along. Ooh, I know that's a concept that some people, but that's exactly what it's supposed to have done. Knowledge of good and evil. Think about it for a minute. Living off the land as God would provide. God provided for the tribes as they left Egypt. He provided for them. He provides for the fish, the birds, the in a cycle of sort. And what you have, you use, you crop, you build, you help each other. God don't have a central bank in heaven. Think about it for a minute. No, he doesn't. It's me doing my skill for you, and then down the road, your skill help me. But we don't exchange, for a little pack of salt here, I'll give you. No, you just give it to them, and they give it to you, and you love each other back and forth. It's just a matter of, you helped me last year. Can you help me this year? You're sure I can. And if they help me, fine. If they don't help me, well, I forgive them. So what? That's how it's supposed to work. The mark of the beast is money. And now, ever since the dawn of time, we've seen the mark of the beast before our nose. Mankind's been scripted to use money. And money is now going to go to an RFID chip. It's nothing new. But the money that you change, give, gold, all that stuff, paper, blah, 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 was conditioning to be able to get people to do it once Satan had achieved that scientific level to be able to interact with the soul through technology. He couldn't work with mankind for the past thousands of years because mankind is a slow learner, man. They had to be brought up, and when did it happen? The industrial age. He saw opportunity. Bam! All of a sudden, here come the knowledge. Leonardo da Vinci, Gestalt, Freud, Nikola Tesla, all of a sudden, they're channeling all these scientists, philosophers, educators, religious leaders. That's where the Industrial Revolution came from. When God's word came out, Satan knew he had a short time. So the apple was man to become as God with all kinds of knowledge. Satan all along and the fallen angels said we can defeat God and create a better universe, but with our knowledge, that's the height of arrogance. Didn't work so well at the flood now, did it? Nope. But God carried that gene, that DNA, to Noah. Carried it on to the next round two. You know, to allow sin, disobedience, to be a learning experience, not something to avoid, but to experience, is what they say. Sin is okay. It's a learning experience. That's why, listen to me. How's that equate to you today? Well, I'll tell you exactly how. They're going to completely shut down all prisons. When they take over, all prisons will be closed. Now, the New Agers, they don't have this concept I'm telling you right now. They don't see what's coming. It's like you go to the Wesak Festival, you frolic around here like, you know, on a medieval fair on steroids, while other places they're sacrificing and murdering children. But they flock around the Maypole, play around the Maypole. They get their cards read, their palms read, cards, things, seances, and play like a medieval fair and all this stuff, and flock around and put on paint and this, that, and the other, and eat, I guess, bob and apples, who knows, and funnel cakes. In any case, what they don't see in the background is a practice of the occult. Well, they're misled at these Wesak festivals and learning how to meditate and all that, they're becoming indwelled with demonic entities. And they don't know it. And all they got to do, we're using drugs, chemtrails, DNA, DNA changing, microchips, RFID chips, interacts with the soul, your energy force, will minimize the human soul to allow the demonic entity to take over that body. That's what they're heading toward. And the combined binary computer with DNA human, and this is the ultimate goal, and slap in the face of God. Now, do you think he's going to allow that? No, that's not going to happen. So, in our lives today, what's going to happen when Father comes home? Because the mama's already told him what's going on. The comforter. And you can better believe Father God's coming home. When Jesus lands, he's going to remove his church sometime, either first seal or the sixth one, somewhere in between. And here comes the wrath of God. Whether it's pre-trib or mid-trib, I have no idea, and neither does anybody else. It doggone sure isn't post-trib. Because those who take Jesus Christ as Savior is not going to go through the wrath. God's not going to take those that's become born again and put them in the wrath of God at the same time. Now, that's impossible. Now, whether he removes the church, those that take Jesus Christ as Savior, to a protected place, or puts a bubble of protection around them, or wraps them up, I don't know. Neither does anybody else. But he'll protect you during that period of his wrath on this earth. So that means those that pass on this false doctrine that the wicked will be reversed as a tribe of Dan. That's New Agers. Christian identity. Sacred name movement, Hebrew roots movement, and all that other corrupted doctrine. It's not in the Bible. If they remove the wicked first, then wouldn't that kind of eliminate the seven trumpets and seven bowls judgment? Remove them where and for what? That's not what the Bible says. Nowhere. You will not find it in the Bible. Angels created and later mankind were given free will to make choices. A third of the angels in heaven made the wrong choice. Mankind's always making the wrong choice. That's why Jesus Christ came down and died on the cross. There are some that choose good and others that choose evil. That's just their choice. And God knows who chooses good, God knows who's going to choose evil, given the opportunities. That's why you have predestination. Because God already knows your choices before you're even going to make them. So he calls you to him. Once saved, always saved. But don't mix that up with the Calvinist doctrine that you can be saved and then you do anything you want. No, that's not true. But see, you've already made your mind up to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. He's going to point you in the right direction. If you think that you're going to, well, I'm just going to say the words of the sinner's prayer and go to church and I'm saved. No, he knows your heart. He knows your the hidden deception and your plans to continue to sin. So you may fool yourself in thinking you're saved, but you're not. That's where the Calvinists come into view. And they try to do it in the 1-point Calvinist, 2-point, 3-point, 4-point, 5-point. That's your charismatic. Calvary Chapel. Unitarian, Universalism, Herbert Armstrong, your James, or Arnold Murray, all these, oh man, they get into the denying eternal security, denial of the Trinity, all kinds of denial of this, denial of that. Denying it means it's in the Bible, means you better not deny it. Whatever they're denying ain't right. Go by the Bible, not what man says. So God knows the ones that choose good. God knows the ones that choose evil. So there's really simply your predestination because he knows who's going to choose good, given the opportunities. He draws you to them. It's actually kind of simple. Without government, without laws, without rules, there would be unrestrained evil and chaos continually. Hell is eternal punishment. And eternal punishment is to restrain the evil that would be done to each other if it didn't have punishment in hell. However, heaven is beautiful on the other side for those that seek that peace and love. To be annihilated, as some believe, means that's a reward. I can do what I want to on this earth. I'm just going to die. Man, that annihilate me. So what? Well, I got news. It's eternal. Man, y'all better not play with this, those out there. You know, this, the Bible tells you it's eternal. It's not me. It's what the Bible says. You can find it. I got to move along here. I don't. You know, without punishment at home, you have unrestrained children. And they become adults that will also seek self-gratification and do evil against others. Now, they needed that family structure intact the beginning part of the 20th century. Why? Because they knew they had two world wars planned. To fight those two world wars, they needed to have sovereignty, patriotism, which is an idol. They needed to have that male dominance. They needed to have the fighters ready to go. And then all they had to do was add a false flag. And they got themselves a war with fighters that's going to join up, man, stand in line. Or after World War II, they knew there'd be a period of peace. They knew by the 60s and 70s, they wanted to take down the family structure to prepare the way for the New Age movement 50, 60 years down the road. This is exactly what they did. So after World War II, Korean War and Vietnam were planned to lose. I got it documented. This is what exactly what happened. And Tavistock set it up. Feminist movement, the anti-war demonstrators, drugs, all that during the 60s was that part of it. Agent Orange to start the day. Now, so you've got the sovereign man of the house attitude, World War I, World War II, beginning Korea. What are their children called? baby boomers. And you're the one, I'm the one, and those of my generation had that thing. Well, in my case, my mother whipped my butt. My dad was quiet. My stepdad was a very quiet man. But let's say proverbially, my mother beat my butt for like 17, 18 years, man. That's why I wanted to join the Marine Corps. Yeah, man, I tell you. Anyway, I had a dominant, different, whatever. Yeah, boy. Anyway, I had an opposite thing going on there. But a proverbial family still had that patriotism, man of the house attitude. Because they were raised by the ones of the 1940s and 50s, you see. Now, let me show you what the connection here is. In 1952, confirmed by the CDC, they put in the polio vaccines of 98 million Americans, the laboratory produced cancer virus into the polio vaccines in 1952-53. Then they started putting chemicals in the cigarettes. Then they put cocaine in the 1860s. They started putting cocaine in the Coca-Cola. Oh, I got a list of stuff they did. And in late 40s, early 50s, they put an enormous number, 900 detonations, nuclear detonations in Nevada. And we're worried about Fukushima? Come on now. Something's wrong here. When Fukushima goes up, and whoa, wait, let's go back. Back. How many explosions went off of nuclear explosions of all kinds? 900 or so from 1950 to 1940s, 50s, 60s time frame. Something isn't matching. Could that nuclear radiation already be affecting us today because of that period of time? Yeah, buddy. And so by Korea and Vietnam, they're working on the baby boomers to start the change, getting ready for the New Age movement. Agent Orange was to cause cancer. I've explained already about how they had set the Vietnam vets to die with glycerol factory specifications given to Russia in 1966 so the Russians could pass it on to the VC, our own government, working for the Vatican, by the way. Joint Chief of Staff are traitors to this country because they get into the New Age, they get into the secret societies. That's what they've done. It's about the occult, not Islam, not communism, not Nazism. All that's just created enemies to keep you all busy. The real enemy are the secret societies, the druids, the occult. That's the enemy, the Vatican. False religions, that is the enemy. It's all been turned around beginning in 1960s by Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, 1970s, Club of Rome. You get it? Council of Foreign Relations is 1919, 1921. Tavistock, 1921-22. Coercive Behavior Modification. They lose. Let me show you something. Well, I can't show you something. But they have infiltrated into churches. Now, a lot of y'all, I don't have to tell you that. But let me tell you how detailed this thing's got. Adolf Hitler, second cousin to Churchill, second cousin to Stalin, second cousin to Queen Elizabeth II. They're all cousins. Hitler escaped Germany in 1945-46, and now it's coming out that they brought him over, and he died in 1966. Same Adolf Hitler. Nazism was moved to the United States. Communism stayed and flourished in Europe. That's where it's always been. Tavistock, Operation Paperclip, all that sort of thing. We brought 10,000 Nazis over to continue the spread of the Black Sun, of the occult, the New Age movement. The teaching plan by the hierarchy of the fallen angels, Satan, not aliens, not ascended masters. People are going to find this out the hard way, unfortunately. But the hierarchy, the community, the great white brotherhood, aliens, the ascended masters, the sons of God of the Old Testament, they're all the same. Fallen angels, those angels I mentioned, had free will that turned against God. The others are chained under darkness. What others, you mean? The ones during the period of the flood. After the flood came a second wave of fallen angels. Focused on Nimrod. That's where Freemasonry started. And the ancient mystery schools of religion. Islam did not begin until the 6th century when it was created by the Vatican. Before that was Roman Catholicism. No, was ancient mystery religions. Shamanism, Mithraism, the occult, worship of these gods. And to hide it, Satan brought Constantine in 325 AD and called it Roman Catholicism. So 300 years later, those that did not go over to Roman Catholicism, those who are you talking about? Arabs. Not Muslims. Islam wasn't even created yet. But the offspring of Ishmael up to the 6th century. And then those that did not convert over to Roman Catholicism, the Vatican created a religion for them, called it Islam. That's the origin of Islam. For the white folk in Europe, up to the 16th century, that did not convert over to Roman Catholicism, the ones they didn't murder, to then get control of them, because they started murdering in the Inquisition in 1200 AD to 1500 AD, they formed up a religion using Jesuits by the name of Martin Luther and Calvin, and they called it Protestantism. And then for those Jews, to target the Jews, they created Zionism in 1897. You get the point now? Well, in the meantime, the New Age is moving in the background, building its cadre, building its support group. Evidence. So the teaching planned by the hierarchy, the fallen angels, to precede and condition the New Age, the Aquarian Age. You ever heard the song about the Age of Aquarius? They use music to brainwash the dickens out of us and drugs to help it. That's been the plan all along. And it falls in three categories. I'll tell you exactly what they are. The first phase of the New Age movement now was called the preparatory phase. It was given, set up, 1875 to 1890. And you know who was channeled and wrote it down as channeled by the fallen angels of the hierarchy? Her name was Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. She was channeled by Elmoria and Saint Germain, that are two fallen angels, took physical form by invocation, witchcraft, other means of, and this includes biology and physics and all that. They could take a physical form. You got pictures of them. You got their documentation. You can trace. You can actually trace. Look it up right now. Right now you can do it or don't. But you can find Saint Germain goes back to the year 1700. You'll find them again in 1800, about 100 years later. The same Saint Germain. Fallen angel. Not some silly ascended master or some alien from planet who knows what. That's a lie. As a matter of fact, look it up. Swedenborg. Swedenborg was a universalist. However, he was known as a man who spoke with angels, not aliens. They didn't have aliens ideas back then. Angels. He says all they do is lie. That's his testimony. He ought to know he'd deal with them. Created a religion called universalism. And guess who studied Blavatsky religiously? Adolf Hitler. Guess who else loves her? Maxwell Jordan, or Jordan Maxwell, and David Icke, all the rest of them love Blavatsky. Man, when they talk about Blavatsky, Jordan Maxwell just slobbers all over himself. Big time. After that period of time, bringing in the preparatory phase of the New Age movement, they kill Blavatsky about 1891. She dies. Yep, they killed her. That's what they do, Freemasons. When they're done with you, they kill you. You'll find out the phase ended 1890. She dies early, 1891. Broken. Beaten, so to speak. And real unhappy. She is murdered. They'll never let you live. The second phase. Oh, you'll love this one. The second phase is called the intermediate phase of bringing in the New Age movement. Alice Bailey. Between 1919 and 1949. You know, 1919 and 1921, between there, they created Tavistock Behavioral Think Tank in England. They created the Council of Nations. They created the Royal Institute of International Affairs, all between 1919 and 1921. And that was beginning of the intermediate phase of the New Age movement. It's also after World War I. Beginning of a major depression that people don't talk about, 1921. And then Happy Days Are Here Again to placate the American public between 1921 and 1929. Is all coordinated together. So while she is being channeled, yeah, I bet, by El Morya and Saint Germain, and this is documented, El Morya appeared to her because she was in the occult, like the rest of them. She is a follower of Helena Blavatsky, Annie Besant. They're all connected. She's channeled with 18 books, Externalization of the Hierarchy, which is planned to take place in the year 2025, by the way. She writes 18 books, but they're nothing more than transcribing what she's told by these fallen angels, you see. People don't know this. Her channeling period and 18 books ended in the year 1949. Huh? How about that? 1919 and 1949, she's in daily constant contact with two fallen angels that dictate to her what she's going to write to set up the second phase of the New Age movement. What happened in 1945? Two sacrifices. Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That would bring in the fallen angels because of the life force that was extinguished during those times. They didn't want you to know that. That's one of the reasons they sacrificed Nagasaki and Hiroshima. By the death and destruction it caused, opened up portals. Whoo, they don't want you to know that. The UN was formed. What else was happening? Israel, fake Israel, was created. Ho, wow. Ooh, that's hot. That's hot. God allowed it because that was a setup by the tribe of Dan to achieve what they wanted since the days of Jacob. And under the control of the Vatican, because Vatican lost control when they funded the Muslim invasion of Northern Africa and the Muslims took over Jerusalem. That's the purpose of the Crusades. Because the Vatican had to stop the death and destruction they created when they created Islam. And to use Islam as a hammer to to acquire Jerusalem in about the 9th century, 8th century. They failed. And the Muslims then wanted to keep going. They got power lust. I tend to believe that God turned them over to power lust to stop their activities, because the Vatican did not gain control of Jerusalem like they wanted to. And the Muslims that they had already created and trained and funded wanted to come to Europe. Oh, that's a no-no. Oh, no. That was the whole purpose of the First Crusade all along. It's as Templar came out. They believed that they were crusade. They didn't realize that the Vatican created the problem anyway. Oh, yeah. The Vatican, listen to this. The Roman Catholicism, Roman Catholic, raised, trained Muhammad the Prophet from 6 years old to 25 years old. He married Khwajana, a wealthy Arab lady, widow. When she was 40, he was 25. Remember the mother-father thing going on? Well, ironically enough, and you know the mother's matrix is what? 5 and 6 years old it ends? Right? Yeah. Did you know that Muhammad the Prophet, who is in the same bloodline as Queen Elizabeth II through King Edward IV? Yeah, buddy. Did you know that his mother died when he was 6 years old? He is removed from mother's matrix at 6 years old. His mother died, and the Roman Catholic Church raised her. I smell a little murder going on here. And then he married an older woman, 40 years old, a cougar, wealthy. There's your mother complex. Family's all set up. So 1949, you also had Roswell. UN, Israel, all formed at the end of the intermediate phase of the New Age movement. And I bet you can't guess when Alice Bailey died. Ding, ding, you got it. 1949, Alice Bailey dies. The same year she finished. But of course, that's a coincidence. And the third phase of the New Age movement, called the revelatory stage, began in the year 1975. Did you know that Nixon, another New Ager, yeah, you darn right it was, and Luciferian, absolutely, cousin to Reagan and all the rest of them, did you know that Nixon, in February 1972, signed the Executive Order 11647 to destroy the United States as you know it, set up 10 regions, 5 states each, and planned a military coup in the year 1973. Oh, you can look up the order. It's there. I got documents. I got newspaper clippings. I got names. And he's going to work with General Cushman to militarily take over Washington, D.C. 1973. They were going to kill. They were going to kill Spiro Agnew with a member of the unit of the LAPD. The sniper was going to kill him at a Republican convention, September 1973. Explosions would have occurred after. Kind of a military takeover. Sound familiar? And that would have been justification for martial law. But it never happened. It was terminated for some reason. That was right before 1975. Now, the revelatory stage of the emergence of the New Age movement has some other things to it too, by the way. This was to be given out, the revelatory stage, on a worldwide scale by radio, TV, and later, of course, it would have been internet. Radio and TV. In 1975, here comes a slam dunk. In 1975, so-called Michael Aquino, who's part of MK Ultra in the Pentagon, founder of SET, a water walker in Pentagon, invoked the Prince of Darkness in 1975. You know, the Christ, they call him, is the head of the hierarchy. They have one called Sanat Kumara, the Ancient of Days, they call him, whose ashram, his ray, his discipline, his expertise, it truly is, because Christ, they say, that's his official name. So you hear certain ones that love God and love Jesus and all that, and they say, the Christ, he's a liar. You got yourself a New Ager pretending to be a Christian. You all understand the implications of what I've just said. That's his official name, the Christ. You're not going to hear the word Jesus called the Christ. That's a code that they use. They say this one, the Christ, is indeed the master of all masters and the coordinator of the entire life of the rays that they call the politics, religion, finance, all that stuff they control. Look at all these names. Sanat Kumara is Satan with a New Age name. They don't want you to know about this stuff. Their initiates are taught a lot of baloney about the Buddha and all this stuff. They intermingle parts of scripture to give it that flavor. Now, let's take a little peek here. Alice Bailey was Illuminati New Age movement founder, discipline of Helena, a disciple of Helena Blavatsky. She wrote the book called Externalization of the Hierarchy, and that actually reveals plans to usher in the New World Order. I'd say it's pretty significant. Just goes by the book. And this is which the New Age, the occult movements, not Islam, Islam and Zionism will destroy each other in Third World War. That's always been planned. That's not what the theologians are telling you. That's not what the news are telling you. But the theologians and the news are lying to you today. They're lying to you. There's no doubt that channeling a demonic part, a spirit, to write a book, she said that in order for the hierarchy, the fallen angels, and the demonic beings who commune with magic practitioners, to truly return the world openly and usher in the New World Order, there had to be a paradigm shift in society. And that's where it's all taking place, you see. The masses abandoned Christianity and biblical principles in favor of the New Age mysticism, which is what the Roman Catholic Church is covering over right now. And all is to help to invoke the New Age Christ, a false Messiah. He'd lead all people to world peace. One religion, one unified world government, and immorality. Immorality is, do as thou wilt, is the whole of the law. See, Hollywood is a symbol of cycle of symbols, rituals, and practices right in front of your very eyes. Super Bowl, sports events, all these are rituals. Practices of the occult played out on live TV, film screens all around the world. Masses are learning the basics of witchcraft and the occult firsthand. Even in churches, Harry Potter is taught under the guise of your children getting together. Rowling, who wrote it, is a witchcraft. She's a witch. I mean, clearly, I'm not saying this derogatorily. I'm saying she, in fact, is a witch. Some of you are Freemasons, the highest level, Shriners, or warlocks. You have judges. You have Clinton and Buchanan and several others that are high-level priestesses in the Luciferian order. Madonna, in the family member of the bloodline of the presidents, Madonna, Brad Pitt, they're all in the same DNA sequence. Madonna is a high priestess. Shall I tell you what Hillary is? Family, this goes beyond what the news is going to tell you. Well, boy, I've laid a lot of stuff out today, haven't I? Maybe. Some of the articles that came out, one thing is for sure, the Sananda Emmanuel, the fallen angel, is talked about as being Yeshua. That's why they won't get everybody, English, whatever speak, doesn't matter, to call his name Yeshua. It's a trick, and boy, it's working too. Yeshua. You got articles today, school changes potty policy that punishes kids for going too often. They charge them money. The idea coming from their planning, Ayn Rand, from her writing the textbook for the Illuminati, another one called Atlas Shrugged, is a textbook of the Illuminati, that you create laws, multitude of laws, that people can almost not even obey. And you make a nation of lawbreakers. That's the purpose of it. The Masons control the education since 1908 to control a country from childhood. It always starts at childhood. So now they change policy, punish kids for going too often. This is about control. What it's all about. Incite the parents to show we're in control. That's why they brought in the police to protect the kids. Is protect the kids? No. Protect the school from the families that want to take their kids out of school when they start the vaccinations. They're not telling you that. That's why they're bringing in the felons trained in Christian Identity, ADL, Blackwater, to be your national police force when the North American continent is brought about as the North American Union. I'm telling you what's going to happen in the future. A man gives change to a homeless person, 75 cents, and then the police chase him down, handcuff him, hold him for an hour. Now, what I'm supposed to do is say, this is abominable. The police are doing this in the tyrannical government. That's what I'm supposed to say. But here's what I'm going to say. Family, this is a setup. I did another copy-paste in the search bar, and that one article is plastered all over the United States. So they pay this guy to give the money to this homeless guy. Then the police or Freemasons are said, now, he did it? Okay. Well, go ahead and do your thing. And so they put it on the news so you'll see it. And so we will say, as I say in the broadcast, oh, we live in a tyrannical society. The police arrested this guy for just doing a good deed. That's what I'm supposed to say, you see. But this is all a setup. It's all pre-planned. You know, these people. And so they have this little act going on in Utah. Okay? So the Freemason judges play a little game over there of the gay marriage, yes, gay marriage, no. They play the game back and forth like a ping pong ball. So then finally, the Utah governor is, quote, flooded with letters on gay marriage. See, they got to make a big point there in Utah. It's all play. It's like a script, like a reality show. It's all played out. It's not real. And then they make it real by making a law. And they just play the stupid games. Married same-sex couples in Utah can file joint state taxes, commission says. Man, they get this thing so planned out. It just goes and goes. But you know the Lord had a man? You know, it was a difficult time in Israel, in depravity. Backsliding was rampant in the land in those days. Am I switching on you? Yeah, kind of. Not really. And at this time, the ark was gone from Israel. Eli was the nation's highest priest then, was lazy, complacent, and allowing his son to debauch the priesthood. As under the leadership, adultery, fornication was rampant in the temple. But old Eli here had become so used to his life that being easy living that he would not do anything to stop him. So at one point, the Lord wrote the word, this is very important. Some of you may get it, some of you may not, I don't know, but it's the word Ichabod. Oh, Ichabod. You know what it means? The Spirit of the Lord has departed. This is over the whole religious system. And once again, satanic forces had risen a great power, that to the natural eye. God's work had lost a lot of ground then, and odds of recovery seemed improbable. David Wilkerson speaks about this. He wrote about this, and he had said that the Lord had a man in place all along, though. A little child named Samuel. And you know, the ministers around him were indulging in fornication, gluttony, and Samuel was learning to hear God's voice, and he became more and more intimate with the Lord. So the Holy Spirit filled him with a prophetic word. He became a testimony, living proof of the power of God. And the scripture says that as Samuel grew older, in other words, fell to the ground, meaning that he constantly spoke with power and authority. Because of his godly authority, no nation was able to stand against Israel for 40 years. So Samuel grew, as 1 Samuel 3:19 to 21 says, I quote, and Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established, found to be trustworthy, to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by word of the Lord. So again, the Lord raised up a single man as a testimony to the whole nation. Didn't need a revolution. The revolutions of violence never, never wins. We never won in 1776. It'll never win again. We never won in the Civil War. We never won that war. How do you win a war fighting each other? It's like talking to yourself. Except there, we lost our men. And a massive number of Americans just killed each other, and they're going to do it again. You got DHS over here, and you got the militia over there. You got Sheriff Arpaio telling the militia, you come around us, we'll kill you. So what? That's what he said. Yeah. You got General Boykin and Stubblebine. That's part of the, they say we got six generals on our side. They got Boykin on their side. That's like the three little pigs saying we got the big bad wolf that's going to fight for us. Oh, oh yeah. Because General Boykin is nice of Malta. With his buddy Rick Joyner. They're nice of Malta, family. Good gosh almighty, can't people do research on this? Stubblebine? You got to be kidding me. That's your generals? I don't even know about the other three or four. I imagine they're nice of Malta, nice of Columbus. You're in some deep trouble. Because the Joint Chief of Staff of Illuminati back in 93, they've always been part of the Illuminati, Joint Chief of Staff. That's your generals in charge of the military. What happened in 1933-32 to the Bonus Army? Don't people do history at all? How about the 22 suicides per day that they're orchestrating against our troops? Doggone it! Why can't people wake up? You generals are a bunch of cowards, man. You know what you're doing when you bring women up to frontline units? You know what's going to happen. It was planned in 1978 by Ruth Bader Ginsburg to destroy the military. That was the plan. That was the technique. It's being done. And it's working. And you Joint Chief of Staff, you so-called military professionals, man, you're nothing but a bunch of blood oaths taken Luciferians. Doggone it. And I'm a former U.S. Marine. And it fires me up and curls my toes. Now think about it. A bunch of cowards up there. You've taken a blood oath and you know it's wrong. Sorry. Well, all this is pre-planned. Nothing is separate. Nothing happens without them doing it or allowing it are just remaining dumb. Y'all see what I mean? That's what old Cletus would say. Well, here's the real answer. And I'll let follow this. If I have the time to do it, we'll see what happens here. Here's the real answer. Which should be. Watch out the transition.
The Bible says there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way except by the way of that cross. I want to tell you something. If there had been another way of salvation, Jesus would have never died on the cross. On the night that he was betrayed, the night before he died, he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What was he praying? He was saying, oh God, if it is possible to save Billy Graham, if it is possible to save Bill and Jim and Susie and the human race, if it is possible any other way, if they can work their way to heaven, if they can buy their way to heaven, if there's any other way, oh God, spare me the cross tomorrow. But the answer, as it were, came back from heaven. There is no other way. Man cannot be saved by bread alone. Man cannot be saved by earning his way, by working his way. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is only one way that men can get to heaven, one road. Jesus said it was a narrow road. He said the gate was narrow. And it's the cross, and I must come to his cross. That's the reason that one-third of Matthew, one-third of Mark, that's the reason that one-half of John is given over to the death of Jesus Christ in Hayes' Life of Lincoln. There are 5,000 pages, and Lincoln was dramatically assassinated, but there are only 25 pages given to his death. Yet in the biographies of Jesus Christ, from a third to a half are given to his death. Why? Because it's the only way to heaven. It is the only way to forgiveness of sin. And if you haven't come by faith to the foot of that cross renouncing your sins, I don't care who you are, what you are, you'll never be in heaven. You might be a member of some church. You might live a good, decent life. And all of that is fine. But your sins are not forgiven and you're not going to heaven unless you've come by the way of that cross. Have you come by the way of that cross yet? The only way that earth can ever find reconciliation with heaven is by way of the cross. The only way that you can ever get to heaven is by way of the cross. And if Jesus Christ had not gone to the cross, you could have never had sin forgiven. You could have never gone to heaven. And the problems of earth would have never had a solution. Only by the way of the cross can we find our way back to God. And that's why it was important that Jesus stay on the cross. Because you see, man is in rebellion against God. Adam and Eve rebelled in the Garden of Eden. And every man since Adam and Eve has broken God's law and sinned against God. And as a result of that, God and man are separated. And man's only way back to God is through Jesus Christ.
No, if God didn't spare Jesus, he's not going to spare you if you don't know Christ. The only way that God can spare you and remain a just God is for you to come to Christ and let Jesus Christ come into your heart and forgive your sins. That's the only way God can do it.
Sure, you have religion, but that's not going to save you. You are saved by Jesus Christ. By the blood that was shed on the cross. By resurrection. By what is called in the Bible the kerygma. The story of Christ on the cross. When God took your sins and laid them on Christ. And he became sin for us who knew no sin. That's the only way anybody's going to be saved. I don't care who you are. No one is going to go to the kingdom of heaven. Except the way God said go. You might not like it that way, but that's the way it is.
the way of salvation has not changed. In all these centuries, the way of salvation is still the same. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, in Acts 4:12. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In the last generation, the only way to God was through Christ. In this generation, the only way to God will be through Christ. The only one in history of whom it is written, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Think of it. The wrath of God abides on you now. And the only way that wrath can be turned away is by the cross. When Jesus Christ took your sins on the cross.
Is there another way to heaven except through Christ? The Bible teaches there's only one way. Other people will come along and try to tell you there are other ways. But the Bible says there's only one way. And that way is by the cross. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In the last generation, the only way to God was through Jesus. In the present generation, the God is through Jesus. Jesus on the cross. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Then he said an interesting thing. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's the way to God, is through Jesus. In Acts, the 4th chapter, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. You know, Buddha said at the end of his life, I'm still searching for truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the life.
Now, that was up to 78, 1979, 80, 85, that time frame. You got to gain the confidence of those you preach to at the time and period that it's being preached. Notice I talked about the different phases of the New Age movement. What was going on in the 1950s when Billy Graham was funded by the Rockefellers and Randolph Hearst? Billy Graham's a 33rd degree Mason, like Joyce Myers is a Freemason. She is a ESA star, like Copeland, like all of the TBN guys lately, all of them are Freemasons, all of them, Pat Robinson, all of them. Okay, now, so you, 1950s, 1960s, it's about Jesus Christ. What's being developed, as I showed you, talked about the different preparation stages of the New Age movement, really began in 1975. Yeah, okay? 1975, it became a revelatory, a revelation. I am God. Remember the movies back then, in 75? Shirley MacLaine, I'm God, you know, in this movie and all. Yeah. 71, 75, it all started changing. New Age movement. The heresies that began are the following. Sin all you want, you're saved. There's your once saved, always saved. But they take it to the limit. They don't tell you about it. You got to become born again. The Calvinists started moving out here, started moving along. Priests, saints, Marys are your intercessors. Earn your way to God's grace through good works or rites or rituals. Many paths to God. All religious worship the same deity. And Jesus wasn't actually the Son of God. Jesus was a prophet. Okay, that's a New Age thinking. All right? So now when you come about, you've gained everybody's attention, and those in the 50s and 60s started dying out. The New Age started taking over, computer over. Video games, movies, all changed. Drugs, all of it. Leading up to, this is all coordinated. This is all coordinated. This is important to know. How Satan operates. Now, watch this. In the right time. Nothing's changed in the Bible, has it? Well, listen to this.
But what about those faiths, the Mormons and the others that you mentioned, believe in Christ? They believe they will meet Christ. What about those like the Jews, the Muslims, who don't believe as
That's
you believe?
That's in God's hands. I can't be the judge.
You don't judge them?
No. No,
How
I
do you feel
you're
when
going to hell and you're, oh, I don't.
How do you feel when you see a lot of these strong Christian leaders go on television and say, you are condemned, you will live in hell if you do not accept Jesus Christ? And they are forceful and judgmental.
Well, they have a right to say that, and they are true to a certain extent, but that's not my calling. My calling is to preach the love of God and the forgiveness of God. And the fact that he does forgive us. That's what the cross is all about, what the resurrection's all about. That's the gospel. And you can get off on all kinds of different side trails. And in my earlier ministry, I did the same. But as I got older, I guess I became more mellow and more forgiving and more loving. And the Jerry Falwells and people like that, I love them. I thank God for their ministry. He has a great university. And three of my grandchildren have gone there. And they have had a tremendous change in their lives for being there. And some of the other people are the same way, but on the other end of the team, Reinhold Niebuhr here in New York years ago, preached against me or spoke against me. I loved him with all my heart. I went to see him. And all these people.
Now, watch this. And this is representative of all of them. Of now the time is to come out, because it's now at the end of the New Age infliction upon the society. And this is when they're all coming out now at the same time.
Tell me, what do you think is the future of Christianity?
Schuller, he's 33rd degree.
I think Mason. Everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven.
This is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There's a wideness in God's mercy.
There is. There definitely is.
And then you have
Phoenix, Arizona. Hello.
Hello, Larry. You're the best. And thank you, Joel, for your positive messages and your book. I'm wondering, though, why you sidestepped Larry's earlier question about how we get to heaven. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and the only way to the Father is through him. That's not really a message of condemnation, but of truth.
Yeah, I would agree with her. I believe that.
So then a Jew is not going to heaven.
No, here's my thing, Larry, is I can't judge somebody's heart, you know. I don't know. Only God can look at somebody's heart. And so, I don't know. To me, it's not my business to say, you know, this one is or this one isn't. I'm just saying, here's what the Bible teaches, and I want to put my faith in, you know, in Christ. And I think it's wrong when we go around saying, you know, you're not going, because it's not exactly my way. I'm not going to be the God.
You believe your way.
I believe my way. I believe my way with all my heart. But
for someone who doesn't share it,
well,
it is wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I look at it like that. I would present my way, but I'm just going to let God be the judge of that. I mean, I don't know.
So you make no judgment on anyone?
No, but I...
About atheists?
No, I just, you know what? I'm gonna let God be the judge of who goes to heaven and hell. And I just, again, I present the truth, and I say it every week. You know, I believe it's a relationship with Jesus. But you know what? I'm not gonna go around telling everybody. If they don't want to believe that, that's gonna be their choice. God's got to look at your own heart. God's got to look at your heart, and only God knows that.
You believe there's a place called heaven? Phoenix, Arizona. Hello.
Hello, Larry. You're the best.
Well, they do
and
it again.
Thank you, Joel, for your positive messages and your book. I'm wondering, though, why you sidestepped Larry's earlier question about how we get to heaven. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and the only way to the Father is through him. That's not really a message of condemnation, but of truth.
Yeah, I would agree with her. I believe that.
So then
that's
a Jew is not going to heaven.
No.
Well,
here's my thing, Larry, is I can't judge somebody's heart. You know, I don't know. Only
I'm not sure whether repeated
his
second time.
So, I don't know. To me, it's not my business to say, you know, this one is or this one isn't. I'm just saying, here's what the Bible teaches, and I want to put my faith in, you know, in Christ. And I think it's wrong when we go around saying, you know, you're not going, you're not going, you're not going, because it's not exactly my way. I'm
but
not going to be the God.
You believe your way.
I believe my way. I believe my way with all my heart. But
for someone who doesn't share it.
Well,
it is wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I look at it like that. I would present my way, but I'm just going to let God be the judge of that. I mean, I don't know.
So you make no judgment on anyone?
No, but
about atheists?
No, I just, you know what? I'm going to let God be the judge of who goes to heaven and hell. And I just, again, I present the truth, and I say it every week. You know, I believe it's a relationship with Jesus. But you know what? I'm not going to go around telling everybody else. If they don't want to believe that, that's going to be their choice. God's got to look at your own heart. God's got to look at your heart. And only God knows that.
You believe there's a place called heaven.
I want to talk to you today about living in total victory. A little over 2,000 years ago, they crucified Jesus on the cross. They put him in a grave, and that was the end of it. But thank God, on the third day, he arose. He said, because I live, you shall live also. He wasn't talking about just breathing. He was talking about living an abundant life. Not a barely get by life. Not a life filled with bad habits and addictions and lack and mediocrity. No, because of the price he paid, we have a right to live in total victory. Now, I want you to get that down on the inside. Not partial victory, to where we have a good family, we have good health, but we constantly struggle in our finances.
Say what?
That's not total victory. If God did it for you in one area, he can do it for you in another area. Get a vision for it. Don't get stagnant. Maybe God's blessed you and you have a good family, a good job, but you've had pain in your body for years and years. You used to stand against it. You used to believe you could be free, but now it's been so long, you've just decided, this is my lot in life. Joel, I guess this is my cross to carry. He has paid the price so that we may be totally free. That means free from bad habits and addictions. Free from fear and worry. Free from discouragement and depression. Free from poverty and lack. Free
from
low self-esteem. You need to start seeing yourself the right way. You are not a sick person trying to get well. You are a well person fighting off sickness. God made you healthy and whole. And the scripture says in Ephesians 1 verse 4, long before God laid down earth's foundation, he had us on his mind. Because of the sacrifice Christ made, we are a free people. And not just barely free, but abundantly free. One translation says, unquestionably free. I like that phrase, before God created a world, thinking about us. If you're going to be free, you need to know who you are. You're not just anybody. You're a child of the Most High God. He has breathed his very life into you. You have his royal blood flowing through your veins. It's the blood of a champion. You're not ordinary. You come from great stock. Your heavenly Father spoke the worlds into existence. Long before you ever got here, he was thinking about you. And let me assure you, he didn't create you to be average. He didn't create you to barely get by, to have all kinds of things holding you back. You've got to get the right vision. God created you to be totally free, to have peace in your mind, to walk in divine health, to have good relationships, to have plenty to pay your bills. God created us as victors and not victims.
No trials and tribulations. You see how much hypnosis works? How well they lull you into a false sense of security? Now you'll love this one. Here we go. Final one.
The panel has been discussing the spirituality and the forces of God, but I also believe that there are two forces that are here with us, that we do have our God that we can depend on, but there's also a power of darkness that we do need to be aware of. And that's where the choice is.
Do you believe that you can choose between one or the other?
Most absolute definitely.
Yeah. Now, Marianne Williamson says in her book, Return to Love, that we're always walking in the direction of one or the other, that all of your actions in life, either you're moving toward the darkness or you're moving toward the light.
That's right.
She calls it fear and love. There's this wonderful book called Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, it's a gorilla talking, but anyway. It talks about, one of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human being.
How do you please
and,
God?
And many ways, no, but many paths
many
to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
pleasing.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be in that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides, I
there couldn't possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
That even brings them up in this whole discussion, and you say there isn't only one way.
There is one way and only one way, and that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be with
because
the millions of people in the world.
Because you say there isn't.
There couldn't possibly be.
Because you say, you intellectualize it and say there isn't. If you don't believe that, you're all buying into the lie.
But that means you're right.
Do you think, that if you are somewhere on the planet, if you're somewhere on the planet and you never hear the name of Jesus, you never hear the name of Jesus, but yet you live with a loving heart, you lived as Jesus would have had you to live, you lived for the same purpose that Jesus came to the planet to teach us all, but you are in some remote part of the earth and you never heard the name of Jesus, you cannot get to heaven, you think?
And that is covered in the scriptures, too. People are talked about
that. Truly, God knows the heart.
Does God care about your heart or God care about if you call his son Jesus?
Well, you know, Oprah, God, Jesus cannot come back until that gospel is preached in the four corners of this earth. So, you know, figure it out.
Okay, I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It's not religious.
Have you heard about the largest church in the world? The first service was March 3rd, 2008, with an attendance of over 300,000. Attendance is now a million, and they conducted the first ever mass trance on March 17th, 2008. What do they teach? Who you are requires no belief. Heaven is not a location, but refers to the inner realm of consciousness. The man on the cross is an archetypal image. He is every man and every woman. The Leader's website teaches these lessons. My mind is part of God's. I am very holy. My holiness is my salvation. My salvation comes from me. Let me remember that there is no sin. Do not make the pathetic error of, quote, clinging to the old rugged cross, unquote. The only message of the crucifixion is that you can overcome the cross. Have you heard of this church? Or maybe its leader? Years ago, she denied Jesus is the only way.
One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human being.
And
many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God.
That
and her
pleasing.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be in that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides, I
there couldn't possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
There is one way and only one way, and
there
that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be
with
because
you say there isn't.
Today, she has turned her millions of adoring fans over to New Age doctrine. Christians are letting this into their homes and are being deceived.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to week number 3 of our New Earth web class. And again, I thank you. Eckhart Tolle thanks you for joining us. We bring students and seekers together to discuss our latest book club selection, Eckhart Tolle's A New
Earth. Did something last week that was unprecedented. You said it's never been done before on television, where you just sit there in silence. I thought a lot of people responded to the sense of connection from that. So you want to do that again?
Yes.
Let's do that again.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you're going to lead us in silence.
And okay. Simply become aware that you are breathing. The air flows in and out, and you feel yourself breathing. Air flows in and out of the body.
In reading books such as Tolle's, it's really opened my eyes up to a new way of thinking, a new form of spirituality that doesn't always align with the teachings of Christianity. So my question is to you, Oprah, how have you reconciled these spiritual teachings with your Christian belief?
I've reconciled it because I was able to open my mind about the absolute indescribable hugeness of that which we call God. I took God out of the box because I grew up in the Baptist church and there were, you know, rules and, you know, belief systems and doctrine. And I happened to be sitting in church in my late 20s, and I was going to this church where you had to get there at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, or you couldn't get a seat, and a very charismatic minister, and everybody was just, you know, into the sermon. And this great minister was preaching about how great God was and how omniscient and omnipresent and God is everything. And then he said, and the Lord thy God is a jealous God. And I was, you know, caught up in the rapture of that moment until he's jealous. And something struck me. And I was like, I think about 27 or 28. I was thinking, God is all. God is omnipresent. God is all. And God's also jealous. God is jealous of me. And something about that didn't feel right in my spirit, because I believe that God is love and that God is in all things. And so that's when the search for something more than doctrine started to stir within me. And I love this quote that Eckhart has. This is one of my favorite quotes in chapter one, where he says, "Man made God in his own image. The eternal, the infinite, and unnameable was reduced to a mental idol that you had to believe in and worship as my God or our God."
Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." That means you are the consciousness in which the world is seen.
So you believe what happens to us at death when the body dies? You don't have a belief?
I don't give it any thought.
You don't? God, in the essence of all consciousness, isn't something to believe. God is.
Yes.
God is. And God is a feeling experience, not a believing experience.
That's right.
And if your religion is a believing experience, if God for you is still about a belief, then it's not truly God.
No.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
But that's not all. She's entered the political arena by endorsing a candidate for president. The New Age teacher giving lessons on her website, Marianne Williamson, has started an organization called the Peace Alliance to establish a U.S. Department of Peace. What can we do? Spread the word and tell others to open their eyes. Christians, time to open your eyes, turn off the TV, and pray.
One path. One way. One Savior. His name's Jesus. There is no other. So you see, family, it's all in the timing. Gathering confidence, gathering followers, and then changing horses in midstream. That's what's going on. It's all timed perfectly. You see, this is how Satan works. So I wanted to bring that out and let you all see what's going on. I don't know how much it impacted you today, but I set it up along the way, kind of piece it together as I go along. But I had a plan. to let you all hear it yourself, and you make your own decisions up. If you don't think Satan's not working hard in the countries, in the world, in our religious arena with major religious leaders, Hagin, Chuck Smith, the whole doggone lot of them, every doggone one of them. The last one I can see was David Wilkerson, and there's questions about how he really died. There's a lot of evidence that shows that he was murdered. He wasn't bowing down to the associations, to the Vatican. He is preaching the true word of God like Ravenworth. Several others that aren't around today. And all of a sudden these others, like Billy Graham, the rest of them come out. They've been Masons all along. Since 1950s. Billy Sunday was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. Later in his career and life, by the Laura Spelman Memorial Fund. Then Randolph Hearst and Rockefellers funded Billy Graham, 1949-1950 time frame. This includes all of them, just about, almost all of them. TBN, 700 Club, Pat Robinson's a 33rd degree Mason. Family, pray for these people, but they're leading millions to hell. Because now they're coming out. It's not right. See, they're going to the New Age movement. New Age theology is now surfacing. And that's why I brought you today's broadcast. And the way I did, to show you the steps, that it's all quantified. It's scientific. It's designed. And you know, the Bible affirms the existence of spiritual beings called angels and spirits of just men made perfect. Some are fallen angels. Satan is. Others are unfallen. Supernatural exists. No aliens, no ascended masters. They call them 10-buck-2 Elmer Fuddites if they want to, but it doesn't take away the fact that they're fallen angels and they're heading to hell. There's no angel wars out there where the one angel, good angels, will use UFOs and the bad angels use UFOs. They fight each other like Star Trek. That's your Steve Quayle stuff, the war, angel wars. No. God's angels don't need UFOs. God's angels and God don't need man. They're judging man. They don't depend on man or blood moons. Blood moons, nonsense. Hagee's wrong. There's no blood moon. None of that garbage. The Feast of the Tabernacles, yes. It's yet to happen. Oh, yeah. But all these other feasts and all this other, no. Blood moon is a big lie. God don't go on any festivals, Sabbaths, none of that. That day will not come until the man of sin is revealed and the falling away. Now you got something going on. But they're going to try to time it. Can they make it happen? Yeah. False signs, lying wonders. You better believe they can make it happen. When God pulls the carpet on them, though, they're going to be really, really in deep kimchi. Bad. But family, you seek Jesus Christ. Don't seek some man. Don't seek any man. They got their own problems coming. Seek Jesus and Jesus alone. Not the Pope, not Billy Graham, not Rick Warren, not Rick Jordan. No human being, not one. Not one religion, not one. Seek Jesus and Jesus only. Don't need to be fallen man. You need to set your own relationship between you and Jesus alone. Through the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit ain't a woman. Is God in another form. Jesus Christ is God in another form. And all three are one. 1 John 5 verse 7 of the King James Bible and the King James Bible alone. And that is non-negotiable. That is irrefutable. And that is the total truth that can't be disproven, denied all you want. I can sit on a railroad track and deny a train's coming all I want, but I'm going to get made up mincemeat when it hits me. All my denial won't stop that train. Well, that train's a-coming. You see? And the whistle's blowing, too. But people got blinders and ear protectors on, and they turned away from it, or got their fingers stuck in their ears. I would say something else, but I ain't. And that's what's going on today because these doggone preachers out there, popes, rabbis, politicians, Knights of Malta, you've heard me reiterate that before. Now, they got problems. Well, they're trying to bring it on the rest of us. Family, pray for him. But you got to move away and seek Jesus. Nobody else, man. Nobody else. No. It's not in these churches, that's for sure. Synagogues and cathedrals. They're missing it. I got to get going here. Had to deliver a message God put on my heart to put out today. And that's what I did. I stand by it, too. Y'all have a great weekend. And know that you've won through Jesus, but Jesus alone. King James Bible is the only true word of God on the face of this entire planet. There is no other. And that cannot be refuted. They've tried for 400 years and failed all along the way. That should answer for something. Family, see y'all tomorrow night, 7 Bible study. Hit the ground running again. And then, of course, you know, Monday to Friday, 4 to 6. And family, that's what we got. And then Monday night, 8 to 10, Revelation Radio Network, Revelation Radio Network. And at revelationradionetwork.org, I'll be on from 8 to 10. Family, Revelation, highportradio.net, highportradio.net, up in New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. They play our broadcast and our Bible studies, so give them a little help there, this visit or something. Y'all have a great night. I got to go because I'm running out of megabytes, so I can send this thing out. Family, bring people in. Or you spread the word yourself, or get your blog talk ready, or do something. But do whatever it is you got to do to spread the word of God. Don't matter. Somehow do it. Time's coming. Get strong with the Lord. Read the Bible. There you go. Y'all have a great weekend. Look up and live through Jesus Christ. He's waiting for you. Have a great weekend. God bless. Good night and God bless.